You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week 3 of our series, Winning the War in Your Mind, Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Jonathan Maley with today's message.
Well, what's up, Mid-Current? How are we doing this morning? Good? Hey, good to see you. I want to start off this morning with a question. The question is this. Have you ever experienced or witnessed a situation where two people have the same experience but handle or interpret that experience vastly differently? For instance, do we have any Price is Right fans in the house? Old school Bob Barker, come on down. You know, where you see like somebody, they win a minivan and they're like, yes, this is amazing. Thanks, Bob. You know, I give him a hug and like, look how the door opens this way. No more, you know, door accidents. And then the next person, let's say they win that same van and they're like, yay. And they're thinking like, I just can't wait to sell this. This is not really my kind of car style I want. You know, same experience, vastly different response. Or let's say the state fair. Anybody love the state fair? Yeah, some of you. Yeah, you know, the sea of people, the healthy fried foods, those disgusting porta potties, the whole experience just warms your heart, right? And then you put somebody else at the state fair, palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy, and they're just going, where is the closest exit? This cannot be safe nor sanitary. Same experience, just a vastly different response. Have you ever experienced this? Have you ever seen somebody where, you know, they have the same kind of situation, but the two people respond very differently? Well, there's a story in my life that I experienced a situation where there was two different responses, and mine was on the side of the negative side. I wish that I responded differently. And to tell you a little bit about this, I want to rewind back to 2010. I just got done watching this movie where this guy lost his ability to say no. Where anytime anybody asked him to do something, he automatically had to say yes, and it took his life on this wild adventure. And I left that movie, and I thought to myself, next time I get an opportunity, if I even experience the slightest nudge, I'm going to say yes, no matter what it is. Careful what you watch. And so the next thing I know, it was a church. I ended up going to this random, I don't even know why I was there. It was like this random church meeting, and it was the most boring meeting you've ever attended. You know, your eyes are just like, how do I keep this thing open? And all of a sudden, there was this transition between different talking points, and they invited this like tough construction dude who I don't think had ever spoken in public in his life. And he comes up there in the meeting, and he goes, as many of you know, and there was just an earthquake, 7.0 Richter scale earthquake that happened in Haiti. And we have a partner church and school in desperate need of help. And so we want to gather some construction people to go down and help with the relief efforts of that school and that church. And I felt the nudge. I said, sign me up. Here I'm thinking, so I'm from small town Iowa. I'm like a, you know, like farm area land. I'm thinking I can swing a sledgehammer with the best of them. Let's bring it on. Let's go. And it ends up being me and these like 10 other dudes. And this was a high quality picture back in the day, by the way. So, but if you can't tell, it's like me, who's a smaller version of myself today, and these like hardened, tough men. One was not like the other. So I did my very best to keep up. And this trip changed my life. As we flew into Port-au-Prince, Haiti, started driving through the cities and then on the outskirts of town to a small area, words and pictures cannot describe the devastation that they experienced. As you can see in some of these pictures, to get you a glimpse of what had happened, So many people lost their homes, their businesses, their family members. And they didn't have the resources to really handle that well. And there's tent cities that would be popping up everywhere. And it was as if you were driving through a war zone. And so we make our way to the area where there's that church and that school. And like I mentioned, what I experienced, it changed my life. Because was there destruction? Yep. Was it devastating? Yeah. Was there food and financial challenges? Yeah, immensely so. But there's something that I experienced there that I was not anticipating given the circumstances. And that's that there was an abundance of joy, laughter, and gratitude. I would not be exaggerating if I said I saw more joy in the dusty rubble of collapsed buildings in Haiti than I often do in our well-manicured suburban parks. And I remember one of the nights that we had in the church basement, one of the buildings that was still up, we got, you know, like this little plywood thing with some foam on it as your bed, and I would just lay there, and I could not sleep as I was watching the ceiling fan spin 1,000 miles an hour as my mind was racing because I was confused. How did this Haitian church's community's response be so positive? How could they have so much joy and gratitude when they've lost so much? And I thought about myself. I'm like, if I had lost what they have lost, I don't know that I would be handling it in the way that they're handling it. And so I started thinking, what's the difference between the way that they're processing this situation and the way that I would process this situation? And the difference is this. It's perspective. Same place. Same environment, same understanding of the situation, though obviously, you know, I was coming as a visitor. This was their lives, but two vastly different experiences. The overall perspective that I witnessed from this Haitian church's community was this, is that life can be challenging, but look at all the things we have to be grateful for. If I'm going to be frank, I feel like oftentimes the perspective that we can have in the States is that overall life is decent, but look at all that could or should be better. And even though I view myself as a fairly positive person, I realized I had far more subtle negative thoughts that was controlling and shaping my perspective in life. And I'm wondering if you can relate. Do you have an overall good life, yet find yourself focused on what can be better and on what you don't have or over what you do have? Do you struggle seeing the positives, the things around us that we ought to be grateful for? Or is it easier for you to live with a negative headspace? If you're unsure if you struggle with a negative mindset or negativity, I made a little test. You might struggle with negative thoughts or a negative mindset if you find yourself saying things like this. There's always something. Everybody's out to get me. I'm grateful, but. Or my life stinks. My job stinks. My spouse stinks. My kids, I love them, but they stink. My in-laws, they really stink. Middle schoolers, they stink for a different reason. We should do a little deodorant drive, don't you think? No. Or maybe you find yourself saying this, my husband never understands me. My wife's always nagging me. My house is too small. It's too outdated. Or you go to a fridge full of food and you open it up and what do you say? There's nothing to eat. or the moment that you experience any hardship or inconvenience. You say, life's not fair. Is this maybe hitting a little too close to home? If you find yourself with negative thoughts or negative thinking, today we're going to focus on how we can win the war in our minds. We're going to learn how we can defeat negative thoughts or negative thinking so we can be free from negativity. Why is, well, you can't live a positive life if your mind is controlled by negative thinking. Negative thinking will equal a negative life, and I don't believe that we can live the life that God has intended for us. You know, as followers of Jesus, our lives ought to be marked by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if our minds are being controlled by negative thinking, I don't believe that we can live the life that God has designed for us. And as Pastor Stend crushed it last week, one of the things he said is our strongest thoughts determine the direction and the quality of our lives. So if negative thinking is controlling your lives, we're going to learn some tools of how we can overcome that and live the life that God has intended for us. Today, we're going to learn how to defeat our negative thinking through the example of a man named Paul. Everybody say Paul. Paul, yeah. Paul was a strong, unbelievably smart leader in Israel. He was a religious leader, and Paul was known for capturing and killing Christians. And then one day on the road called Damascus, Paul is walking and he has a God moment that changed his life forever. He had this moment where he encountered Jesus, and the man who once went after killing Christians ended up living his life following Jesus and sharing the news of Jesus with others. And something to know about Paul is after Paul started following Jesus, his life wasn't this cushy, you know, cuddly life. No, his life was marked with hardship. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was snake bit. He was arrested. His life was very challenging. And if we look at today's specific passage in the context of the passage that we're going to talk about today, Paul was compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Rome to share about Jesus in that context. And the man who once imprisoned people for following Jesus ends up himself in prison. And if you think about this, you're like, I'm following Jesus. I'm doing my best to live my life with purpose and to do it right. Next thing, he's in prison, and we can read his response here in Philippians 1, 12 through 14 in the NWV. This is how he responds. This is awful. I want to give up. How could God allow this to happen? I was trying to do what is right, and now I'm in jail. This is unfair. This stinks. I want to go home. If you're wondering where that version is from, because that's the most applicable version you've ever heard in your life, I want to let you know that that's made up. That is what Craig Rochelle calls the new whiner's version. So that is not how Paul actually responds. What Paul really says is this, and I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped me spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. What is Paul's response to being handcuffed, to being imprisoned? He says, everything that has happened to me here has helped me spread the good news. It's almost like you want to go, newsflash, Paul. This didn't go how you were expecting it to go. How has this helped you? Why is your perspective so positive? And if you think about it, he's thinking, you know, the whole palace guard knows I'm in chains. It's like the way that Paul's processing is this. Well, if I'm going to be imprisoned, guess who I have as a captive audience? Prison guards. And do you know who the prison guard know? Prison guards would have connections with those who oversaw the whole city. Paul saw this as a great opportunity to influence those that could influence those that have all the influence. And not only that, he's saying, and because of me being arrested, it's actually creating boldness and confidence in other believers to go share about Jesus. This is a wild response to a challenging and difficult circumstance. So how did Paul do this? How did Paul keep away from this negativity? From negativity controlling his perspective and his life. How did he keep himself from whining and throwing a pity party? Well, I think his answer is actually the answer that's going to also help us. And this is what I believe he did. He framed the situation well. In preparation for this message, what you may not know is I'm a painter. And so I spent this weekend painting this beautiful picture to talk, just kidding. This is a Walgreens print. So I'm not a good painter. I'm just kidding on that one. And so what I want to do is I want to talk about this idea of framing situations well. Can everybody see this? Have you ever been on like a vacation or a trip where you see a view that's just spectacular? It's beautiful. And then you pull out your phone or you pull out your camera and you try to capture the whole thing, but it turns out you can only capture so much, right? Well, what I want you to think about is this. Imagine if this picture is a picture representing your life. You see, in life, everybody has storms. I've yet to meet one person who doesn't have a part of their life, a period of their life, a situation in their life that isn't dark, that isn't painful, that isn't hurtful, that isn't what we would call a storm. I also have yet to meet somebody that doesn't have a part of their life that is beautiful, a part that is great. And I think the thing is this, is that just like if you were to take a picture, let's say you're on this trip, and you took a picture of this area, if you were to go back at your pictures and to remember your trip, and this was the picture that you took, well, what would you remember about the trip? You would remember much more of the dark, the thing that you focused on. Or if you took a picture of the beautiful, when you would think back to that trip, what would you think about? Likely, the beautiful. This is the same when it comes to our lives. While it's much more complicated, like I said, we all have a span of both storms and beauty in our lives. And I think it's healthy for us to understand and to see the full picture. But my question is this. What in your life are you going to focus on? If you focus on the negative, the painful, and the dark, how is your life going to feel? If you focus on the beautiful, the things we can be grateful for, how is your life going to feel? You see, if you look at Paul's situation, well, I think it'd be easy for him to say, I'm in prison. This is terrible. It's as if Paul decided to find a way to reframe and to focus on a beautiful side of his circumstance and his situation. It's almost as if he said, I have a plan, but I believe that God's plan is greater. It's better. It's as if he thought to the passage that we might know is this, is this understanding that in Romans 8:28 says, for God is working out all things for the good of those who love him. That passage doesn't say that everything that happens in life is good, but it says for those who love God, that God works out things for the good, that God can make good out of any circumstance. So I'm curious, when it comes to your life, what area are you focusing on? And how is that shaping your thinking? What we learn from Paul and from that amazing Haitian church community is this, is that you can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you frame it. You can control what you focus on. And so today, as we start getting close to wrapping things up, I want to give us some reframing tools that will help you defeat, to go to war with negative thinking. And so what I want us to work on is this, is the idea of reframing, and we're going to start with reframing your past. Sometimes it's easy to look at our past, whether recent or distant, and to see all the things that could have or should have been different or been better. But what I want us to do as a tool for reframing our past is I want us to do this, is to thank God for what he didn't do. As we think of our past, let's thank God for what he didn't do. For instance, let's say that you found yourself in a Minnesota winter ditch, you know, and you find yourself, your car is totaled, it's ruined, and it makes you late to work, and your boss, you're already at odds with your boss, and you can think to yourself, man, life is unfair. Why does this always happen to me? Or let's reframe it to say, thank you, God, for a car that kept me safe. Thank you, God, that today I was able to go see my kids and my spouse. Or maybe you worked for years to earn a promotion. You showed up early. You worked hard, striving to make a better life and a better income for your family, but the promotion never came. It would be easy to go, how unfair. I did all the right things, but the promotion never came. I feel like a failure. But a way that we can look back to see some of the positive is look at the perseverance that I've developed by showing up, by having a good attitude. Look at the difference that I can make with the coworkers that I work with on an every single day basis, that I can make a difference in their lives and be a blessing in their lives. Which one are we going to focus on? Here's the deal. My life has a lot of storms. There's been a lot of moments of pain and where things did not go the way I would have drawn them up to be. But there's a passage in Isaiah that's been very comforting to me and maybe will be comforting to you. It says, Isaiah 55:8, it says this, my thoughts, this is God speaking to us, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Sometimes when life doesn't make sense, but you're trying your best to follow God, you can just lean on the fact that I know that his ways and his thoughts are higher than mine. Another tool for reframing the past is to look for God's goodness. You've maybe heard of collateral damage. I would say, let's look at collateral goodness. Instead of looking back to see what should have happened in life and how things didn't pan out how you believe they should have, let's start looking for God's goodness of where he showed up in your life. There's a story of a middle school boy who came home. He's in seventh grade. And he complained about all of middle school. My teacher's terrible. My homework's terrible. This school stinks. I hate going to school. And his mom said, hey, I want you to go to school. And I want you, for every positive thing that you find in middle school, I'll give you, it was like 50 cents. It was a miracle. The next day, 50 things he loved about middle school. You see, he starts shifting his thinking, as Sten talked about last week, is that as we think, we are creating neural pathways. And if we look towards our past and we see the negative, the more that we think negatively to the past, the easier it is to create pathways that becomes more automatic to think more negative. So if we want to see our past in a different light, we have to intentionally train ourselves to look for God's goodness. The next tool for defeating negativity is to pre-frame our future. Before I walk into today, before I walk into this week, I'm going to pre-frame my mindset and the way that I'm going to look at it. The way the psalmist Dave put it is this, is in Psalm 118:24, he says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." This passage is great for Mondays. When Monday comes, instead of going, "Oh, back to work, back to the grind, back to school," you can start with this passage, say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Today, I'm going to be glad in it." And say, "God, today on a Monday, I know that you can have purpose in this Monday. In my job that stinks, I know that I can come up and show and be a blessing in the lives of those that I'm going to encounter. When I go to school, I can decide I'm gonna learn something amazing today, or at least be kind to my teacher. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." We can pre-frame our future. Mid-Current. No matter the environment that we find ourselves in, we get to choose. What I learned from Paul, what I learned from Haiti is we can't always control what happens in our lives, but we can control how we respond. I want us to be known as people who see the full picture. We don't pretend that the pain, the storms don't happen. And when there's times to grieve, we grieve. When there's times to be sad about situations, we can be sad about situations. And we also choose, though, to keep us focused on the ways God has blessed us and on the good and the beautiful in our lives. That's the kind of people I want us to be known for. As we close, Pastor Craig in his book talks about the difference between a vulture and a hummingbird. It says vultures spend the day circling around the air looking for the dead and rotting things to eat. Whereas hummingbirds look for the sweet, life-giving nectar. And daily, both birds find what they're looking for. What are you looking for? Are you looking for people to harm you or people to champion you? Are you looking for arguments or are you looking for pathways of peace? Are you looking for ways to thank God or are you looking for ways to be mad at God? Are you looking for what could or should have been better or the ways that God has blessed your life today? The decision's up to you and how you want to frame things. If you want to defeat the negative thoughts, you can do so by working on reframing and asking God to help you to see the blessing in our everyday lives. Today, if this has been at all helpful to you, I want to challenge you to go home right after church, find an empty frame and place it where you brush your teeth or place it where you walk into your business or your place of work, to be a reminder that the choice is up to you and how you're going to frame your life and your day. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for who you are. God, help us to be healthy people that see and understands life in its totality, and to help us to also focus on the areas in which you've blessed us, the ways that you've shown up, even in the times that we didn't see it. God, help us to not take for granted every day and every breath that we have and all that you've given us and the opportunities that you have for us. Help us to defeat our negative thoughts and negative thinking so that we can live the life that you've designed us to live. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Mid-Current Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Mid-Current Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings both online and in person at 9 and 10:30 a.m.